Hello, everybody. Thank you for downloading episode 136 of We Got This with Mark and Hal. If you're listening to this close to the release, this weekend, Columbus Day weekend, it's all happening in New York City. We've got the Star Wars show at 10 p.m. at the Bell House. We've got our show 6 p.m. on Sunday at the Hudson Mercantile. That's Best Game Show with Jonathan Colton. And then on Monday, two shows at Museum of the Moving Image, 12:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. We're going to be doing Best Muppet Show episode, and then we're going to be doing Best Muppet Movie. And after both of those, we're going to screen the winner for you, our viewing and listening and participating audience. We've got great guests. We've got Craig Sheman, Stephanie DeBrusso. We've got Doc Hammer coming back, and John Hodgman, the undisputed king of We Got This guest shots. Also, L.A., we're doing a show in you as well. Sunday, November 5th at 7 p.m., we're doing a double bill with our good buddies and podcast twins, Can I Pet Your Dog? And for our recording, we're going to have one of our greatest guests ever, Lil Janet Varney, returning to once again help us decide something. Will items call other items? Who knows? It's Janet Varney. Anything can happen. That's coming up. So to get all your tickets, go to our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WeGotThisPodcast, or you can go to my website, hallublin.com/live. You'll find links and information there as well. But for now, enjoy episode 136 of We Got This with Mark and Hal.
Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. Best movie costume.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Oh, now that we're done saying terribly inappropriate things and the mics are on. Hi, Hal.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I am great. And listeners, I'm very excited for this episode. We are right now in the home of the grand dame of the Thrilling Adventure Hour. The most fabulous diva that any of us know.
Yeah.
Hi.
The wonderful Paget Brewster.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks
for
doing
being
this.
Here.
We've been wanting to have you for
in
a
your
while.
Home.
Thank you for coming to my house, because this is what it is now. I don't go anywhere anymore. I make everyone come to me.
Why would you? You have all the costume pieces.
I have
pieces.
All the hats.
There's a collection of stuff. Maybe this appeared on Drunk History.
It has. Yeah, it's coming up again too.
All of the foam mannequin heads in there.
Yes.
That have the pieces that you've worn, a lot of them you've worn in Thrilling Adventure Hour. And
correct.
I saw like a peek. I was like, I remember those feathers.
There's actually a closet inside that closet. And that's where all the evening gowns are.
And then inside each evening gown, another closet.
Yeah.
They go off into infinity.
It's like a Narnia, but all the animals are just fabulous. They're just dressed so nicely, spangly numbers. It's great.
Well, we picked this topic for you. This was not suggested by anyone. Usually we draw them from our listeners, but this one I thought, having seen your epic closet, this seemed like the perfect topic to discuss with you. It came up originally when they did that big exhibit of all of the movie costumes. Did any of you guys go to either of you guys go to this?
No, they need to bring it to me.
That's right. They need to put it in this house.
They need to wheel it over here.
Yeah, when is it coming to your house?
With a tour guide to take me through every costume.
I can't wait until I start seeing band t-shirts that have a list of cities and then Paget's house and then more cities.
I did go to that. And this is the one that was at LACMA. Mm-hmm. And there was a portion that was dedicated just to Meryl Streep's costumes over the course of her career.
She was a costume designer before she was an actor.
Yes. Right?
No.
She wanted to go to college for costume design. I think she got in for both and then was like, well, I'm pretty good at acting.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. I never heard that.
Yeah. So she sort of guides you through much of this exhibit. It was a great exhibit.
Wow.
And Jennifer was like in a trance. She was so happy.
I should have gone to that.
You should have gone.
That's sad.
You know what? Just build additions on your house until it stretches over to LACMA.
There you go. It's the Winchester Mystery Costume Museum.
You're only like five closets away at this point from being able to just go in the back door.
So I'm Wilshire, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you secretly in your mind figuring out how to get the city plans?
I would prefer to tunnel. I think it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to get workers to do that.
Sure.
As opposed to building over, getting land grants over people's property. Yeah. But I am sincerely considering it now.
Yeah. Call Elon Musk. He will build you a hypercar.
Oh, that would be cool.
Right? So we want to talk today about movie costumes and what is the greatest movie costume of all time. Now, we, when talking about this, you immediately sent us a list of great costumes. Some of which I want to start with because they were not on this list, or they were not on, I could not find, they were on this list. I could not find anything about them online.
Huh?
What, tell me about these Wonder Woman 1930s.
No, those weren't costumes. It was, my mom and dad, were school teachers and bought this house in rural Maine to be near my grandma before my brother and I were born, but the house was haunted. Built in 1862, I think. And there was what we called the monster room, which was, it's now been turned into a guest room. It's very nice. They put in a bathroom, but it was
No,
the bathroom's all right. Oh, okay. So I don't know if they smudge, they like wave sage around, but we found, my brother and I found a stack of 1930s Esquire magazines that had, you know, pinup girls, the Petties and the Elfgren, like, you know, they were all drawings of pinup girls.
Yes.
And they ran some of the Wonder Woman serials, graphic novels, the comic book.
I thought you were talking about movie serials.
No, this was the first boards of Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Were also released in Esquire magazine.
Oh.
And so that was, in my mind, that was what women, that's what I was supposed to grow up to be. For some reason, it conflated in my mind. If you find a men's magazine from 50, 60 years earlier, and it has drawings of women in it, that's what you're supposed to grow up to be.
So how do you think that this combination, it seems to have worked, this combination of, you know, the yin and yang of drawings of pinup women and Wonder Woman kicking ass.
It's very costumey.
A combination of both of those. Or do you just saw the Wonder Woman serial panels as more?
No, they were joined in my mind as
one thing.
As one thing, oh, as right. a representation of what a grown up woman, because we were little kids,
right.
what a grown up woman could be or should be. And it's all very costumey.
Mm-hmm.
Penoirs, that's how it's pronounced, right? Penoir?
Sure.
The evening, you know, the diaphanous evening gown nightwear. Over a nightie, you wear a peignoir.
I love that you're coming to me for this. Like, I'm the one who can help you. I know what you're talking about,
this
though.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
I don't think Gags does.
It's like a sheer robe.
Yeah.
Or like a jacket
you know,
that you wear
with
over.
A feather, or, you know, at the arms. And the, you know what I'm
talking about. But you could see.
That was in all of these drawings. Mm-hmm. And also all the pinup girls, were, there would be Santa costumes. They were all costumed. Pinup girls. There was, you know, like a firefighter, but it's just suspenders and a hat.
Yeah.
And it's a drawing. You're not actually seeing anything.
Did you ever try to wear one of these for a Halloween costume? This is my costume. Absolutely.
No, I don't think I've done any. I don't think I do the sexy kitten or anything like that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever tried to do that.
What, when you were a kid, did you have a costume collection then? Did you have like a trunk that had, or did you ever dig into the family's old collections and just create looks?
Well, my mom is a great seamstress. She can sew anything. And we would go to Buttrick Patterns and McCall's Patterns and she would buy the patterns and, you know, unfold them. You cut the fabric to it, so it comes with instructions. So she made all of my brother, the costumes for my brother and I. But I do remember at the Bicentennial in 1976, I was 7. And she made the whole family colonial costumes head to toe. And we marched in the parade in Maine.
That's amazing.
For that 4th of July, the.
When we finish this recording, do you have photographs of this?
I don't know.
Oh man, I would love to see that.
I don't know if I do.
The Bicentennial,
Mom made, that's family. Hilarious. Yeah. The whole family, 4 people, she made perfect colonial reproduction outfits for all of us to march
to wear in July.
The 4th of July. Yeah.
You guys, were you guys good guys or bad guys? Were you Americans or red?
We were American. We were good. We were good. We were colonialists. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, so we were good.
My mother-in-law did the same thing for herself and my father-in-law. And there is a picture of the two of them in their garb. And again, she's another one who can like build, make anything. The whole family is like superheroes.
Great.
But, yeah, she made – so I know what you're talking
about. That's very exciting.
And it seems very hot to do that. How –
at that time of year.
Were you like, I can't wait to take this off and go and be in like shorts and t-shirt? Or were you like, I feel good in a costume?
I do not recall.
Okay.
All I remember from that event is that a picture of me in my mom's little colonial outfit was in the main newspaper. And that was my first brush with fame. And it ruined me.
Yeah, you never turned back.
Look what happened. Now I have a room full of styrofoam heads.
What is your favorite costume that you've ever worn?
My favorite costume I've ever worn, I made up for Rob Schraub's birthday. I want to say it was 19 years ago. And I made up a superhero named the Mighty Hermaphrodite, which now is probably completely politically incorrect.
Right.
But I stuffed a pair of men's tidy whities mm-hmm. and wore thigh-high white high-heeled boots. And here's another term everyone loves, a wife beater.
Oh, yeah.
A men's undershirt, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, with a padded bra. And then I went and bought an afro. And I made a cape with a big H on it. So I think because I felt pretty creative, like I made that up.
Right.
Not only did you make up the costume, you made up the character.
The character.
That involved the costume.
Which is completely politically incorrect.
It was a different time 19 years ago.
I was also in blackface.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. No, I wasn't. I was not.
But you are right now.
Listeners, Patrick is currently in blackface right now.
I did want to go to Gorley was going to have, remember, Mac Gorley was talking about a James Bond villain themed birthday party.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. I bought a black leather 80s belted jacket, and I did want to go as Mayday. I wanted to go as Grace Jones.
Yeah,
who is on
From
this
a View
list.
To
you
a Kill.
Hearing about her
and
later.
You just can't. I didn't. No. Maybe I told Gorley that, and I was not ultimately invited to that party. He may have had it, but honestly, I think she's so fabulous.
Yeah,
and we'll get to it. We'll get to it. What's your favorite costume you've ever worn?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it for myself. This will show my biases. I made a pretty darn perfect Little Tramp costume one year.
Oh, I believe it.
I had a black tail coat. I got the great big baggy pants. I bought a proper bowler. I got the bamboo cane and I went to get as many detailed specific pieces of that costume.
And
did
you swing the cane and do the walk and the whole thing?
Oh, sure.
Was it for Halloween? What
was it
for?
Halloween, yeah.
Fantastic. Hal?
Yeah, when was that? Oh, me?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I have two. I did not make anything.
That's right.
But I used to do
collecting items is curating.
That's true. Well, these were just stuff I get to wear on jobs. I got to dress as a superhero once for an industrial commercial for Symantec, and they made me fly, and it was like a cheap looking, purposely cheap. But like I dropped off a scaffolding, so it looked like I'd flown in, and shot lasers out of my hands, which was awesome.
Oh my god!
The other time, one of the early ones I did for that company, they put me in a full suit of armor.
Like a real suit
that
of armor?
Really
can you
cool.
even walk in that? Like I've barely. Never worn that. I can't imagine it though.
Yeah.
You just barely walk and it pinches everything
because
you're not wearing – I was like a t-shirt under it. I didn't know.
It also wasn't designed for you. Like there's everybody – there's not like a one-size-fits-all
armor.
Yeah. Like, well, this guy was 5'3", but we're going to put it on you, Hal. Let's
That's
see how
true,
it works.
That's true because your armor would have to have been custom made for you.
Yeah.
Back in the day when they did that.
And mine was not.
No.
Not at all.
Let's talk about some of our favorite costumes through the years. We're going to talk about, and we will determine once and for all, what is the best movie costume of all time. Here's how I'd like to do this.
Mm.
I would like to go decade by decade.
Okay.
We will pick one winner from each decade, And then as our grand finale, we will take those winners from each decade and we will each one by one eliminate one of them until there is one left.
Okay. I'm grabbing pens. I'm going to need to mark mine.
Yep.
Okay.
Padgett's going to get pens. Now, Mark, where did you put this? You put this list together. This was not put together by Kate McManus.
No, but we thank Kate McManus always for her amazing work.
Yes.
I put this list together, because I just wanted to have a big, as much of an exhaustive list as I could, because I didn't want people saying, what about this? And me smacking myself in the head, going, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. So I went through and I scoured, thank you. I scoured every, possible source I could of great movie costumes. And I have come up with a list of, I believe there are 77 of them here. So a few per decade. Some are more likely to win than others, but I thought they all deserved some sort of shout out, either for historic value or for, just the costumes being fun and cool.
Okay.
So let's dive in, shall we?
We have decade. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 in this decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's 1 in 1914. So the Tramp wins.
Yeah, we're going to begin with
what's happening.
What are we looking for here? This is Padgett. Yeah. We don't know.
Hold on, we don't know. We'll
is this like fantasy football? Now we're going to pit them. We pit them against each other, decade by decade.
Yes, eventually, but we're going to pit them. Yeah, we pit them against one another within their decade, and then overall, look, there can only be one winner, Padgett. We're going to have to kill a lot of amazing costumes.
I guess everyone gets voted off.
So we'll start in the teens and twenties, that era, because there was only really, I think, one super iconic costume to come out of this.
Okay,
unless you guys can think of more.
I got one, but
Charlie Chaplin's Little Tramp, one I just mentioned.
What about the robot costume from Metropolis?
Was that a costume?
Probably not, but I just wanted to get him ready for
Klaatu,
life on the internet.
You mean Klaatu,
the lady who...
Mm-hmm. Oh, Metropolis. Like the Fritz Lang film.
Yes, not the Day the Earth Stood Still.
I was thinking Day the Earth... No, that wasn't a sculpture, was it? A sculpture?
Maybe it was a sculpture. I don't know.
You're the one who's worn a suit of armor.
That's true. You know what?
I don't think a chick would fit in that costume.
As an armor expert, I have to say you're right. It probably was a statue.
Yeah.
You can just tell by looking at the joints.
Great.
Says Hal Lublin, master of metallic looking costumes.
Yep.
Wow. All right. This is comprehensive. This is intimidating.
So, that's going to get an automatic bye to the finals. The Tramp. So now let's look at the 1930s. Here are our choices for the 1930s. We have Marlena Dietrich sporting a tuxedo in the movie Morocco, Bela Lugosi's Dracula costume from the movie of the same name, Vivien Leigh's curtain dress from Gone with the Wind, and Judy Garland as Dorothy Gale in the most iconic shoes ever worn in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that pageant already circled one.
Wait, we're
are you doing your vote? Or are you
I'm voting, and then we're going to argue.
Okay.
Isn't that how this works?
On this show, we discuss.
I thought this was all about arguing. And my hackles are up.
Think of us less as
adversaries, and more like friends.
We're the Supreme Court.
Yes. Okay. We're working together.
Okay.
But you've circled... You circled Dracula.
And I feel like that's a great one.
Well, because you guys texted me, what do you think about this? What do you think is the greatest costume of all? And the first thing I thought of was Dracula.
Why?
Because it's still in practice now. That costume is still worn. It's still used in vampire movies. Well, maybe not Twilight, but... Also, I felt that it really served its purpose in, was it Plan 9 from Outer Space later, where Bela Lugosi died in the midst of shooting that film?
Yes, it was.
And so the costume worked to cover the face of the man who stepped in to complete Bela Lugosi's scenes.
I believe was Ed Wood's dentist.
Is that? That's right.
Yeah.
Good job. I thought that was pretty nifty for a costume to pull off.
That's
the costume completed the work of a dead star 50 years after he originally wore the costume.
Do you think that, and while powerful, do you think that beats? I mean, I don't think the curtain dress is going to win.
It was great that
Marlena Dietrich wore a tuxedo, it's still just a tuxedo. Can it beat the ruby slippers?
That's shoes.
That's still part of the
but
costume.
But also, there's the gingham, the gingham
right.
dress
yeah,
the
blue
white
and
shirt.
White gingham, right? Yeah,
because,
right here.
Because the thing, that's another thing yeah. where if somebody wears it, you automatically...
You know who they are.
You know mm-hmm. who they are. But Dracula as well, beyond just Count Dracula, means vampire. If you see somebody wearing the cape with the medallion,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Then you think they're a bat person.
Yeah.
They're going to turn into a bat. I lost yes. it.
I feel like...
It's been a long day.
I am 100% on board with Dracula representing the 1930s.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
Now we all have
That's how circle. Easy it is.
Right?
What? Wait, this is a lot more genteel than I thought. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't worry. There's
been,
some of these
are. These
are
all
big,
very good, though. You've done a great, because also that pink, the, well, now we're in, should I, am I jumping ahead if I go to
we're
the.
We're going to jump, we're going to do okay. the 1940s. We only have two in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you guys want to add more. But the only two that really popped out, from scouring for all of these iconic costumes from the 1940s is Katharine Hepburn wearing pants in Philadelphia Story.
Right.
And Gilda's black or Rita Hayworth's black nightclub dress from Gilda, which was, of course, later the inspiration for Jessica Rabbit. That look.
Oh yeah, the with the heart shaped neckline. Mm-hmm. And the
long gloves.
That's right, Gilda. Good job.
Can I throw in a male costume from that era that I think is another one that is iconic?
Please.
Is Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca?
Ooh.
But it's still just a tux or
the overcoat.
Just a trench coat, right. which yeah. have been worn by other characters in other films. So it's not specific to – I understand what you're saying.
True.
It was him in that outfit in that movie
yes.
that is iconic.
Right. Standing next to that plane.
But can you say that the outfit could stand on its own, not physically – but you know what I mean?
Can we imagine it's a been world? A long time.
If you
I don't know
saw,
if they
if you
it.
Saw a drawing, right, of Rick's outfit
right.
without a face or a just a drawing of the wardrobe, mm-hmm. could you immediately identify that was Casablanca?
No, I would think it was a costume design for a waiter at a fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
Are you talking about
Little Tramp?
About-
you know what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Dracula, you know what it is. Judy Garland in
The Wizard of
Over
Oz.
The Rainbow, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna argue with you. I'm gonna shoot you down. Shoot you down.
That's fair. I just wanted to throw it out there. Because I was trying to think
Go
what
ahead,
else
throw
from
it out
the 40s.
There.
It's thrown out. Now,
I'll smack it.
You just dunked on me so hard.
I thought that's what we were doing today.
Yeah. No, I'm down.
Imagine with
down.
The dunk too. So let's look at these two. If these are the only two that we're looking at, we've got
Great.
A beautiful nightclub or a beautiful nightclub dress up against Katharine Hepburn, breaking down walls wearing pants in a movie.
But, and this is my failure to not read this entire list as comprehensively as it deserved,
mm-hmm.
considering how much work you put into this, Marlena Dietrich in Blue Angel wore pants first.
That's true.
Right.
Didn't
Marlena
she?
Dietrich yeah. only moments ago in Morocco wore a tuxedo.
Okay. Oh,
I didn't even
was
think
it
about
Morocco was before Blue Angel? I don't remember. But Dietrich was the first one. Good job. You have it written down.
So it's got to be – I didn't even –
Yeah. Well, that – but again, if you saw that tuxedo without a face on it, would you know that was Marlena Dietrich's tuxedo from that movie?
No. I like this – by the way, I like this particular criteria.
I just made it up.
It's great.
I would think of if I thought of a woman in a tuxedo, and this is my failing, I would think of Julie Andrews in
Victor Victoria.
Victor Victoria.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Which is not, I wouldn't think she was the first one, but when I think of woman
That's
in a tuxedo,
what you think. Me too.
That is what I think.
I, you're right. I would too.
Yeah.
The movie that forever changed my view of Mary Poppins. We'll get to Mary Poppins later.
Yeah.
So are we going with, Rita Hayworth's nightclub dress in Gilda?
I do think that dress represents a screen siren, which mm-hmm. is why Jessica Rabbit, why she wears that type of mm-hmm. dress. It does communicate right. a certain character yeah. and a feeling. If
Emulated
you saw
later
it,
in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Right.
So let's say black nightclub dress and then move on
I
to
agree.
The 50s. How's that?
Yeah.
Great. So now we're going to look at the 1950s. This one is pretty
this
hefty.
This is pretty big.
Yeah, this is a big one. These first few were
Wait,
easier.
Can I throw two of these out
Hold
right
on,
away?
No, let me say Wait. Them first.
Right away.
Let me say them first.
Say them.
Gags
1953. Marlon Brando's motorcycle outfit from The Wild One. 1953. Also, Marilyn Monroe's pink Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend dress from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Audrey Hepburn's formal dress from Roman Holiday. Grace Kelly's flowing white skirt in Rear Window. Audrey Hepburn's ball gown in Sabrina when she's walking the dogs. Marilyn Monroe's white dress from The 7 Year Itch. Grace Kelly again, her blue dress in To Catch a Thief. James Dean's iconic jeans, t-shirt, and red jacket from Rebel Without a Cause. Elizabeth Taylor's slip and heels from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Rosalind Russell's furs and hats from Auntie Mame. And I know, throwing an animated one in there, Princess Aurora from Sleeping Beauty, and her not only the cut of her dress, but the fact that fairies can change its color.
What is this crap, Mark?
Look, I put this in here, and I'll tell you why, so that it wouldn't jar you later on when Belle could very well win for the 90s.
Oh,
come on. I'm going to – you know what? I appreciate all the work you did on this list. I'm drawing a big line through Sleeping Beauty right now.
Okay, we can draw a line through. We don't have
there
to,
are
all you
so
have to
many.
Do
well, also,
circle.
Here's the thing. It technically isn't a costume. It's not fabric.
Yeah. It's a drawing.
But I love your attention to detail. I like your thinking outside of the box.
Don't validate it.
I'm also going to.
That Well, this is going to beg, this is gonna beg a question later on line. Because
you're right.
If you say it's not made of fabric, there was one I wanted to add for recent times that we will get to that
we'll
is
get to
mostly
it.
Computer generated.
Tron.
Oh.
Iron Man suit. We'll get there.
All right. We'll get there.
So let's stay in the 50s.
Okay.
Which of these – so we've eliminated – we can start eliminating if you guys want. The princess dress is not going to win. As now our audience hears all these
I mean, I think that there's a pretty clear winner in the 50s.
I know what I can argue.
It feels like it's Marilyn's white dress.
It is.
Yeah.
Because it's actually called a Marilyn dress now.
Yeah.
A halter top pleated circle skirt is a Marilyn dress.
Is
They're
that what
sold
that is?
Now on eBay. Mm-hmm.
The Marilyn Monroe that walks around Universal Studios is wearing that dress.
That dress is – That, I think, does win.
Yeah. That hands down for the 50s.
Because everything else –
Good job. Good job.
The James Dean, like you point out, is a red jacket and jeans and a white shirt.
To give James Dean
Him
credit,
wearing
though,
it is what makes it iconic. Mm-hmm. If you pull – I guess if I saw it on a mannequin, I'd know who it was supposed to be.
I would too, whereas I would not necessarily know it was Rick from Casablanca.
True.
Also,
you might think it was McGruff the crime dog.
Are we thinking of two different versions of Rick? Because I think of the white tuxedo, but I also think of the McGruff crime dog trench coat.
Well, the trench coat's at the very end.
Yeah.
Where he says goodbye to her on the airfield.
And that's what I was thinking of.
And McGruff the crime dog is probably wearing a summer jacket tuxedo underneath.
Isn't he also in a t-shirt when they show them in Paris? Because they do a flashback, don't they, to the two of them in Paris? I feel like I want him to be in shorts and a t-shirt.
Ingrid Bergman and McGruff the crime dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Chinos, I think.
Chinos?
Chinos?
McGruff the crime dog, I guarantee you, wears chinos.
Oh, for sure.
What's the difference between chinos and khakis?
Oh. You're a man. You're supposed to know that. I don't know.
You're a clothes person.
Are chinos khakis? Chinos.
I thought they were a kind of jeans.
Oh, no. No, chinos are – maybe chinos are khakis.
Wait a minute, you guys.
Khakis? Wait.
Have you ever seen chinos and khakis in the same room at the same time?
Oh! Clark Kent, Superman! And khakis.
Unbelievable. If those chinos take their glasses off, I guarantee you we're going to see khakis. 100%.
All right. Let's move on to the 1960s. Does anybody want to give any shout-outs to anything from the 50s that deserve a particular silver medal since that one went so quickly?
I mean, I love Grace Kelly's dress at the beginning of Rear Window. I love everything she wears in Rear Window. I love everything she wears.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's Princess, Grace Kelly.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know she was Philadelphia's Princess.
Yes, she is.
Grace Kelly is, boy, she keeps popping up on this list, too. Like,
well, it's a great, I mean, she could wear any outfit. You put her in a garbage bag.
Well, she and Audrey Hepburn are the quintessential blonde brunette style icons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can say whatever you want about Katharine Hepburn and Marlena Dietrich, and really the big the big two for what style is this?
Mm-hmm.
You could include Marilyn too. It seems like there's the brunette and the blonde. Like, what are those? Jackie Onassis, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And Grace Kelly, Audrey Hepburn. Mm-hmm. For up, you know, one a blonde against a brunette.
These, yeah.
They were major pillars of fashion iconography.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, Audrey Hepburn, again, you could put her you could just have a list of everything they've worn in a film, it's striking, and you mm-hmm. remember it.
But everything Audrey Hepburn, Hepburn is right. Its own style. Bangs, black, from later.
We can go to it right now because we've finished the 50s with Marilyn's White Dress. So the very next one on our list, we're going to go through the 1960s right now. And the 1960s list includes Audrey Hepburn's black dress from the beginning scene of Breakfast at Tiffany's, Betty Davis's terrifying Baby Jane costume and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, Ursula Andress's knife bikini as Honey Rider in Dr. No.
One of
the coolest costumes I've ever seen.
Oh.
Anything Elizabeth Taylor wore as Cleopatra, mm-hmm. Audrey Hepburn's society dress as Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady, Julie Andrews as Mary Poppins in Mary Poppins in her iconic flowered hat, and Faye Dunaway in Bonnie and Clyde as Bonnie Parker in her
beret.
Matching beret and sweater, yeah. And Barbarella's spacesuit as worn by Jane Fonda.
Mm.
Wow.
Boy, that's tough. That's a real...
Yeah, the 60s are a tough one.
Jeez.
My knee-jerk reaction is Audrey Hepburn's Breakfast at Tiffany's, because that to me, when I think of what Hollywood glamour looks like, that's what I think of.
She has like the pearls and the cigarette holder.
She has the pearls, the black dress, the long gloves, the tiara, the hair up. She's eating a Danish, is it, or something, just standing outside the window.
Standing outside at Tiffany's.
Yeah. But if you saw only the outfit,
you would know it was Audrey Hepburn.
You would know?
You would know it was Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that came to mind that's not on here is another Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music, is her on the hills, which is not, I just know the outfit.
Yeah.
It feels like we're talking about more iconic rather mm-hmm. than what is the best. These are all expertly designed and well worn.
Right.
Yeah, this is
Shout
really
out to,
hard.
Edith Head and Colleen mm-hmm. Atwood and all the other amazing artists that, that designed many of these.
Adrian albums. Maybe was another one.
Adrian did, Did Adrian do Wizard of Oz?
I don't remember. I just know.
Honey Rider's knife bikini. I know we're going for, it seems like we're going for iconic, but
I love that
costume is just cool. It's just a
really
white bikini
is.
With a knife belt on it.
I mean, it is. It's another one that you would know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins, you know by the outline.
And the idea of Ursula Andress coming out of the – it's certainly an iconic moment, although it's mm-hmm. conflated, I think, with Bo Derek in 10.
Right.
The two iconic women in bikinis running out of the water.
Right. But I get – you know what? I think we need to add in another qualifier for the argument over what's the best costume, which is, did it change – society
right.
or fashion or men and women.
Right.
And what would you argue did?
Yeah, because I feel like...
Like Mary Poppins
so
is
hard.
Iconic, and but right. it didn't change fashion.
Yeah. Does
None
it change people's perception of fashion or what... Because I feel like there's something about that image of Ursula Andress in the bikini coming out of the ocean that was so stunning.
Yeah.
It felt like it changed things. And maybe that's the bikini. Maybe it's a woman with a weapon. Like, there's something about it that feels larger than a costume. Am I wrong? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're not, but
Audrey Hepburn's look in Breakfast at Tiffany's larger than the costume?
That's the thing.
What did that do to fashion?
Because it's so pervasive, it changed fashion. Mm-hmm.
That was 1961, and like the Mad Men era began.
Well, and every 6 months, if you walk past a Gap, they've got like an Audrey Hepburn type outfit in the window.
That changed fashion.
IKEA sells a picture that is just like a sort of Andy Warhol-esque version of that Audrey Hepburn image from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And that's the other criteria.
It has to be
a print of it at IKEA.
Ah.
Can you eat meatballs and look at a picture of the outfit?
Did Warhol, because that's interesting, because Warhol did do the portraits of Elizabeth Taylor from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, right?
Oh.
Is that what that picture was?
I don't know. He did Marilyn Monroe, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Probably. Are you looking around to see it? Is it here somewhere?
Do you hear something?
It's a bird, I think. Yeah, it's a bird.
What is that? Where?
There's a bird out in the yard. You're trying to see
Are
if it's your
sure?
chair.
There's nothing. It sounds like there's something.
No, I think it's out.
Chewing something in the wall.
I hear it behind me. I don't hear it in the wall.
It might be in the wall.
Maybe it's in the wall.
I hear something chewing something in the wall.
Is there a mouse maybe?
Oh my God, there might be a mouse in the wall, you guys.
I'll tell you what. While Padgett inspects the wall, we're going to
take a break?
Quick break. And then we'll be back with the rest of our decades.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Oliver Wang.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. We have a brand new show on the Maximum Fun Network that we'd love to share with you. It's called Heat Rocks.
Morgan, we should probably explain what a heat rock is.
It is a banger, a fire track, true fire.
Right, dope album. Each episode, we will bring on a special guest to join us to talk about one of their heat rocks. It might be a musician.
A writer.
Maybe a scholar.
I mean, I would have been happy to just talk to you about your heat rocks, but this is a different show.
Yeah,
so.
I think people might enjoy hearing maybe the guests instead.
To do that, you'll have to go to MaximumFun.org. So if you want to talk about hot music, you should check us out.
Heat Rocks.
Every week on Inside Pop, we take turns recommending something great from the world of pop culture to each other.
And in the month of October, we're going big, very big, with the Big Sell 30. Every day for 30 days, we're going to suggest some type of pop culture to check out. Things that may not be on your radar, but will be well worth trying.
From TV to music to movies and more, the Big Sell 30 is as irresistible as a Jedi mind trick.
As convincing as an Annalise Keating closing argument.
And as seductive as Miguel singing a ballad shirtless and slightly sweaty.
Follow us on Twitter at Pop Insiders for daily Big Sells and listen to Inside Pop every week for Big Sells from some special guests.
The Big Sell 30 starts October 1st and runs every day of the month on Inside Pop.
It was a squirrel.
There was a sound.
There was a sound.
There was a sound.
Dear listeners, listen closely and you'll hear chewing. And it was a squirrel sharpening his little teeth. Or her little teeth
mm-hmm.
on the you tell them.
No, say the whole sentence.
Outside the window where we're recording, a squirrel was sharpening its teeth on the antlers that I affixed to a sycamore to hold bathrobes for when you get in the hot tub.
That is one of my favorite sentences now.
But it sounds perfectly reasonable the way I say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You two were cackling like you were at a hen party in the 50s.
But you did run out. You were like, a squirrel is on the antlers. And that was after we had in a very tight knit group of three, like the Three Stooges in a haunted house. We were like, where's the sound?
We were creeping around the house.
We did.
Like if you'd seen the doorways, it would be the three of us go by and then a ghost chasing us.
Yeah.
And then the ghost goes by and us chasing him.
Scooby-Doo. Looking but thinking, well, I'm glad the squirrel's not inside the wall, which was my fear.
All right.
Why is it sharpening its teeth? Hold on. Hold on, Mark. Don't get back into the – why is it sharpening its teeth? Is that something squirrels do?
Don't all rodents do that? Don't you have to – if you have a hamster, don't you have to put a cuttlefish?
Wait, what?
Is that called a cuttlefish?
You put a cuttlefish in your hamster cage?
No.
Like a bone. Like
listeners, this house, I knew there was a weird smell.
It's called a cuttle. Birds have to sharpen their beaks on it.
Okay.
And – don't hamsters
I guess,
and guinea pigs, don't they have to sharpen their teeth on a – it's called a cuddle something.
They didn't live very long in my household.
Aww.
Oh.
Maybe because we didn't put out like stones or fish for them to rub their teeth against.
You didn't have that hamster whetstone?
It's something.
By the way, hamster whetstone has been running CBS beautifully for years.
I think the reason why they died is I kept putting them up to a grinding wheel while I was stepping on the pedal.
You don't sharpen the whole hamster.
That was my bad. I was like, they really like being sharp. I'll take care of this.
Hamster sharpening.
Now, you could cut glass with them, but they were definitely dead.
Oh, no. Oh.
All right. Let's move on. All right. Who wins? Honey Rider's knife bikini or Audrey Hepburn's black dress for Breakfast at Tiffany's?
It's probably got to be Audrey Hepburn, right?
Yeah.
After I gave my whole four pillars of two blondes, two brunettes.
Yeah.
I got to back it up. I think so. With my choice.
All right. Let's move on to the 1970s.
Hooray.
Here we are in the 1970s. We have Malcolm McDowell as Alex, along with his friends in A Clockwork Orange.
The Droogs.
Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Divine's red dress in Pink Flamingos.
Sure.
And staying on topic, Tim Curry's sweet transvestite costume as Dr. Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
David Prowse's costume as Darth Vader in Star Wars. Diane Keaton in pretty much anything she wears as Annie Hall. Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia in Star Wars. John Travolta's white disco suit in Saturday Night Fever. This one has two different eras, the 1970s and the early 2000s. The costume worn by Uma Thurman in Kill Bill originally was Bruce Lee's Game of Death jumpsuit in 1978.
Right.
Christopher Reeve's Superman costume in Superman. Olivia Newton-John's Sandy costume at the end of the movie, Grease. And
the leather jacket? Tell me about it, stud.
And Sigourney Weaver as Ripley in Alien.
That's a naval outfit, really. She's just in a spaceship jumpsuit. Right?
I'm going to do a recall also. Mm-hmm. A gray wife beater.
There you go.
Yep.
Big. That was because in the new Alien, the chick is wearing the gray wife beater again. I was very excited as a fan to see that.
I've almost watched that movie three or four times, and I haven't.
Beater, I shouldn't say that.
What can you call it?
Tank top.
It's an undershirt. No, it's a men's undershirt.
A men's undershirt.
It's not even a tank top.
I've heard A-frame. It's an A-frame too, right?
A-frame.
Yeah.
What?
I heard some company was called it like A-frame shirts, and I think they were just trying to get away.
Oh, that's
from
the Duluth Trading Company, Duluth.
Oh, they're the ones that make
Isn't it like air wick? Wicks moisture away from your testes. Like that Duluth Trading Company. Like, I think they're calling it an A-frame. That sounds like them.
It seems like something they do.
Branding.
Have you seen the underpants that now have a fart pad that makes your fart smell like mint?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'd heard of charcoal infused underpants.
That takes away the smell, but not one that makes it smell like something
different.
That puts
it through a vaporizer?
Yeah.
Is it like Willy Wonka's machine where you fart and goes, and it goes all the way through and then it comes out as little candies?
Is this
like
real?
And your snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Is this a real thing? Minted?
This is a real thing, yeah. I saw it on the internet.
Available
you guys.
Here?
I'm like Elizabeth Hasselbeck. If I saw it on the internet, it's real.
Is this the gag gift of 2017 that everybody's going to be like, hey, Uncle Frank, I got you a special gift in your stocking?
Yeah. Uncle, I never see. This one's funny. You'll like this.
Oh, my God.
All right. So
this is so tough.
This is tough.
Really, the 70s, it just.
Yeah.
God, maybe it's just going to keep getting harder,
so,
guys.
It seems like these, outside of what we dealt with in previous, in the 60s and 50s, these are more about the character themselves rather than what they did for fashion, with the exception of Diane Keaton and Annie Hall.
Right.
Like, nobody is dressing like Princess Leia. Maybe some people did the hair buns for a while.
Right.
And John Travolta's white disco suit, that changed fashion. Nobody dresses like Superman.
It certainly captured an era. It became the icon of a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Or of a style or culture.
Yeah, and the disco dresses and from that movie. It was pretty.
If you wear that, if you see that,
you know what it's referencing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But same thing with Princess Leia.
Same thing with Clockwork Orange, Willy Wonka, Frankenfurter, Darth Vader. The 70s were a good era for costumes.
I know you expect me to fight for Darth Vader, and believe me, I want to very badly.
It's really tough.
It's an incredible costume.
However, it did nothing to inspire fashion as much as it's just an iconic costume. You can't – even the silhouette of it, you know what it is. But same with Princess Leia. But you know that by the hair more than flowing white
Correct.
Down.
Right. You're right.
It's
You're
less
right.
about her – it's more about her hair
You're
than
right.
her costume.
More about the hair. Or is the hair – costume combination, and I would also go so far as to say Darth Vader is also the breathing and the voice combination with the costume.
Have you ever seen the footage of just David Prowse?
No.
Speaking of, he's like, he walks in and
I can't.
You just hear like, where are the stormtroopers? Get Princess Leia over there. Because he's got some, it's not Welsh. He's not from Wales. I forget where it is that he's from, but he's got a very thick accent that they had to replace.
Yeah.
Also,
and that's
really
James Earl Jones, right?
Mm-hmm. It's James Earl Jones replaced him. But then, for Chewbacca, the big British guy,
Peter Mayhew,
he recorded dialogue that they then replaced. So you can see footage of like they run out of the frame, and then you see Chewbacca go, "What a strange person!"
Oh no!
Yes,
I can't.
It's so great.
I can't. Yeah, ever
I kind of want to see this now.
No.
Do you think will it ruin your view of Star Wars? Oh God! Oh, we've made our guest cry in her own home.
We're the Barbara Walters of podcasts. That's finally, right. We did it.
We've been dreaming for this day.
Oh, that hurts.
Other ones on this list that I think you could easily identify just by their outline or them without the person in the costume would be, Superman, obviously.
Right. But that's like that's from another media. It's certainly a great version of the suit. Sure.
Willy Wonka from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, purple coat and the top hat and the bow tie and that look. I don't know how much of that was sketched out, by Roald Dahl and how much of that was a costume designer's creation.
Right.
That's an interesting question.
If we're going to ding Superman for being
originally animated, that's tough. Yeah, it's tough. I think we can take out Ripley from Alien. I think we can take out Ripley.
Because everybody's wearing the same outfit that she's wearing at the top.
And we can take out Princess Leia. Annie Hall did change fashion. However, you know what? I'm going to disqualify Annie Hall.
Wow. Why is that?
Because Diane Keaton wore all her own clothes.
Ooh.
When
Diane
Keaton changed fashion when she went to when Woody Allen cast her and she was talking to him about wardrobe, he said, No, You're not going to wardrobe. It's your clothes. You're wearing your clothes. And wardrobe can supplement something if you want it, but the tweed vest, the tie, the men's shirts, the bowler, that was all hers. That was how she dressed all the time. So it's technically not a costume.
Wow.
But it's a huge shout out to Diane Keaton.
Yes.
Being a badass.
She changed fashion though. Mm-hmm. That was her clothing. So just to help us in making this decision, we can take her out. And Princess Leia, I agree. Without the hair, no.
Yeah. So what we're still looking at then is the white disco suit from Saturday Night Fever, Willy Wonka, Divine and Pink Flamingos, which we can probably get rid of.
I think we can take that out just because we have to. I'm sorry. We have to play on the side of commerce as far as how influential a costume is.
Sure.
You have to take into consideration the fact that most people have not seen Pink Flamingos.
Right.
It is an X-rated movie.
But,
and I know this because I picked it out from the video store. And when I was 14 or 15 with my family, because the cover of the VHS box was just Divine in a dress. And I think there's a dog on the cover, but no. And so the whole family went home.
Oh no.
In Maryland.
Oh.
To watch it because this wasn't in video stores in the rest of the country. Wow. And there is a scene very early on in that film, which none of us knew what we were watching, and my brother was probably 9, where a man and a woman are making love, and it involves a chicken. And that's when my dad stood up, turned it off, and said, "Everybody out of this room." Out of this room! And he took it out of the thing. He was livid. He was furious.
What was he furious with? The video store?
The video store that it was just on a shelf, not in like a cult or X-rated section.
Right. Behind the
curtain. I don't know if he had words with the gentleman at the video store in Green Spring, Maryland in 1980 or what. Man. I mean.
Well, all right. If we're going to eliminate.
You got to take that out.
We'll eliminate that.
Wait, what did you – do you remember what the replacement movie was? Was it like bedknobs and broomsticks? Yeah, we've got to cleanse ourselves.
I do not remember. I think the TV was turned off for the rest of the night because it was such shocking smut.
Just throw it in the ground.
And we don't know what's going to come out of that box.
I made the mistake of sneaking downstairs later to watch more of it and threw up. Then had to clean up my own vomit and get the VHS tape out, put it back in the box, and put it back where my dad put it.
Wait, it made you throw up?
The movie made me throw up.
What made you throw up?
Have you seen it?
I've not seen it, no.
In one uncut take, the longest you could shoot back then was 9 minutes on film.
Mm-hmm.
In one uncut take, and apparently it was Glenn Milstead's idea, Divine, the man who played Divine. A dog poops on the sidewalk. Divine, continuous shot, leans down, picks up the dog poop, eats it.
No.
And I barfed. And it made John Waters famous.
There you go.
And it began, it solidified his career because he had done, I think, maybe Multiple Maniacs and Desperate Women. I think he'd done a few films before that, but that was the movie where everyone was talking about. So yeah, there's a guy in that movie running around with baby back ribs tied to his penis, and he flashes people in the park. That I almost threw up, and then at the end, I threw up.
How do you tie? You know what? Let's move on.
I don't think you can use this unless you want to make this a two-part podcast, and one plays later at night. That's not even possible.
Oh, I mean,
this
my
is
goodness.
You haven't,
you have
way
not
off on a
you
tangent.
Have not sworn yet.
I did.
Ever?
I did.
I did.
But
we clipped it. Have you ever met John Waters?
No.
Okay.
Have
if you did, would you? No. No.
I'm
sorry. You had so much hope that I was like, he's here right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. This is your life. No, I have not.
John Waters.
I love him.
Yeah. He seems.
I think he's outstanding. Yeah. I just think he's a delight. And I've tried actually Matthew Gray Gubler, who is also on Criminal Minds. He and I, Matthew offered a part to John Waters. CBS said, first of all, John Waters does live in Baltimore all year round.
Right.
He needs to be flown out first class and he needs to stay at a hotel. CBS said they would not pay for it. So Matthew and I offered whatever financial assistance from our paychecks from that episode needed to be paid to get John Waters to pay for it.
Right.
And CBS said we won't allow it because it sets a dangerous precedent. Because they didn't want to ever have to pay to fly anyone anywhere.
Right.
So we almost had John Waters in an episode of Criminal Minds, which apparently he used to watch.
Wow.
So it hurts me. It hurts me now. Thanks for bringing up the memory.
Thanks, hamster Whetstone.
God, you ruined my Chewbacca memories.
Well, look, if it's not going to be Divine and Pink Flamingos, let's go to another male femme fatale, Tim Curry as Dr. Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Of all the all of the costumes in that movie are amazing and iconic,
but that
was the one. So, the ones that it seems like are contenders here for the
70s. Yeah, yeah. Oof.
Yeah, this is a tough decade.
This is really hard.
Yeah.
Have we eliminated Darth Vader?
Yes, because it was partly boys.
Mm-hmm. We've eliminated Darth Vader, Annie Hall, Princess Leia. We've got the white disco suit. We've got Willy Wonka. We've got Clockwork Orange. And we've got Dr. Frankenfurter.
I would say this is now in my mind, this is a battle between. I would say this is a battle between A Clockwork Orange and Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
As far as what is most predominant in the world's memories.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I would say it's those two.
Well, if the Venn diagram of predominant in the world's memories and influenced fashion, that would be the white disco suit. Because thank God Clockwork Orange did not influence fashion and we're not all walking around in union suits.
I mean, would you say it didn't? Would you say that had no effect on the punk movement?
Oh, my God.
Suspenders and the boots.
Yeah.
And
the hat.
I mean, I feel like it may have had a fairly profound influence on fashion in England in the 70s. And England in the 70s was having a profound fashion effect on the world.
Was it reflecting or was it advancing? Were either of these doing more reflecting of a time or advancing a time?
It was Vivian Westwood wasn't actually the costumer for the film, was she?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? You know, because I'm thinking Malcolm McLaren and Sex Pistols and Vivian Westwood and that shop sex. That would be fashion, the fashion. But I, you know what I would say as far as iconic decade, I guess you kind of have to go with John Travolta, don't you? I don't know.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, it is.
I'm fighting myself. I don't know.
But again, isn't Clockwork Orange based on other material? It's based on a book, isn't it?
Well, a lot of these are based on other things. Well, Breakfast at Tiffany's is based on a Truman Capote story.
Right, but not an animated. I think we're making a distinction between comic book characters, drawings.
Sure. Right.
So the costume was drawn before it was made. So is it a costume if it's based on the blueprint of a pre-existing drawing? It's different. Which is why you could say Willy Wonka. Yeah, that's the question. Is it, was that the costumer or was that Roald Dahl's illustrations?
Well, and also the leisure suit. That's more the suit that's worn by John Travolta existed at that time.
Yeah.
It just launched it. It just
made it famous.
It makes it indelible in our minds.
Correct.
It would have been another piece of fashion forgotten to history, I think, had it not been immortalized
in Saturday Night Fever and be a token of the decade.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that might
be it. Saturday Night Fever.
I also was sitting here thinking, like, if I saw Bulldog wearing both of those costumes. Which one would I more immediately go?
Does the bulldog have a black circle around one of its eyes?
No, it does not have the extra long.
It's not the RCA dog.
Yeah.
Then it's the white. Then it's the white disco suit.
White disco suit. Boy, that was tough round.
'70s was tough. Oh, just wait.
Tough round.
The '80s is going to be tough. We actually had. I just like to point out that in that the 1977 and 1978 are repping well in this to have. For all of 1900 through 1929, one costume, and for in 1977 and 78 to have seven of them in 2 years. That's pretty impressive. But let's move on to the 80s. We have John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd as the Blues Brothers in the 1980 movie of the same name. Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. This one I just threw in there because I love it. Miss Piggy's motorcycle outfit in The Great Muppet Caper.
You're adorable.
We also have Karen Allen.
More kinky.
Little of both. We have two Karen Allen costumes from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Her red pants and peasant shirt combo and her evening dress that's, or her evening slip or whatever she's wearing when she's
The silk. The silk evening.
The silk,
gown.
Yeah. We've
that
got.
Hawk gives her.
Faye Dunaway in Mommy Dearest as Joan Crawford, Dustin Hoffman as Dorothy Michaels in Tootsie, Sean Young as Rachel in Blade Runner, pretty much anything she wears in that. That's more about the hair though. Michelle Pfeiffer and her disco dresses in Scarface, Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger in A Nightmare on Elm Street, all four Ghostbusters, Sigourney Weaver as Zool from Ghostbusters, Marty McFly in Back to the Future, all of Meryl Streep's safari suits in Out of Africa, Grace Jones as Mayday in A View to a Kill, Sigourney Weaver in Working Girl in a dress with heels, Melanie Griffith in Working Girl as in a dress with sneakers. And that concludes the 1980s. What jumps out at you as either not belonging there in a Sleeping Beauty way or definitely belonging there in the top in a Audrey Hepburn way?
I mean, I think I have in my mind what I think the winner is, but I would.
What do you think the winner is? I'm curious.
I think it's Freddy Krueger.
I disagree.
You cannot see a sweater with the red and green stripes without thinking about him.
You can't see a brown fedora without thinking of Indiana Jones.
But it ruined that. People don't walk around in fedoras all the time anymore. People walk around in sweaters, and when you see one like that, you go, "What are you, Freddy Krueger?"
Mm-hmm.
Like it's that piece. And again, he wears a hat too.
If you saw a guy in a brown leather jacket and a fedora and khaki pants and a bag thrown over his shoulder, your reaction wouldn't be, why is that guy dressed like Indiana Jones? And a whip.
Yeah. I'd be like, why is that guy in my bank?
If you did go to this exhibit, I would just like to – I know I'm angling hard for Indiana Jones in this. Part of this exhibit was they took one iconic costume and broke it down completely. Indiana Jones's costume had its own room in this exhibit where they broke down every little piece of the costume. I think it changed in interesting ways. Temple of Doom took place in the 30s, so there were some more 30s elements. It was based on an entire genre of serials, and I think it was a pretty perfectly crafted movie costume. That said, I'm open to any and all of these. Paget?
I do think it is down to Nightmare on Elm Street versus Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
For Indiana Jones. And I personally have been searching and have failed to find that peasant shirt and the red pants that Karen Allen's wearing.
Really?
I've spent decades. Really? Decades.
You would look great in them.
It would be a perfect outfit.
I love that outfit.
Yeah.
It is, I know it is a vintage Romanian hand-stitched cotton blouse with red embroidery, and I can't remember the name what it is right now. It's something like the wedding pattern, something like that. It has a name.
Every time you look for it, does your Google search get longer by one detail?
I've purchased them, and they're not right. Each one has not been right. I've sold them all over. They're all over L.A. I've sold them at Crossroads. I've sold them at Squaresville. I've sold them at Wasteland. I buy these, and they're a lot, the good Romanian ones. They're like $80, $90 a shirt. They're never the right one. So I have a personal I'm getting upset.
Is this part – you get a lot of stuff off eBay, yeah?
Yes, mostly.
Is this where you get these shirts? Is that where you try and hunt them down?
Yes, the vintage it'll say Romanian.
Like, it'll say like vintage wedding pattern.
Hungarian Romanian.
Hungarian Romanian.
They don't say Karen Allen. No, because the people who are selling directly from Romania or Hungary, they don't know it's a Karen Allen shirt.
Right.
But I'm off topic.
You're talking about movie costumes.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm more interested. I'm interested in eBay. Not more interested.
Oh, go.
Do you do buy it now or do you bid?
Depend. Both. Also, if there's an option to make an offer. Mm-hmm. I always make an offer first. That's the haggle I enjoy.
Ah, okay. That's fun.
And what I'll do is, depending on the item, and again, remember, there's a maybe 60-40 chance, 60% chance that I will sell it because it isn't right. You know, you go to the store, you try stuff on, and then you're like, oh, something looks like a work of art on eBay.
Right.
They still look like works of art to me, so they're in there. Mm-hmm. That's a whole room with a closet inside the closet because it's stuff that I think is beautiful.
Right.
Yeah. It's in my will. I have money set aside in my will for a girl party for all of my female friends to come and take every pair of shoes, every hat, every scarf,
wow,
all the jewelry, my clothing. Like there's a champagne and there's a catering budget. Because
you made a party will?
A party will. Party,
wow.
Yeah. Almost everything is from eBay. It's mostly vintage. I offer below, but I've also paid hundreds for something that ended up being the wrong size or not right at all. And then it's a process of selling it somewhere and getting trade at Crossroads it's like a hobby.
But you can't. I would assume if you're negotiating, it's better that they not know who you are.
Oh, they don't. I have a fake name. Everyone has a fake name on
eBay. Right. Because if they knew, they'd be like, I'm going to jack up the price.
And then I changed my name, my shipping address name, because people started emailing. They recognized the name. And they were all very nice.
Right.
They were all like, but they were, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show. And then I would feel bad. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, God, what if she's a nurse and I just like took $20 off a blouse? I'm a dick. So the name had to come off. You know what I mean? Nurses should make what I make. So it kind of it's upsetting.
Yes.
I should pay full price, but also who knows how long I get to act. I got to save my money.
You got to be smart.
Yeah. I'm a mercenary on eBay. A mercenary. And I will snipe. I will outbid you.
Yeah.
I have some nemeses.
Ooh. Is there have you found the same people looking for the same things that you look for? Like do you come across
I used to be up against this, I'm assuming it was a female named Futura 54. She was my enemy for years. Years. She would buy out from under me. She was great. I admired her. It was almost like I needed her. The way, you know, the Joker needs Batman. Like, I needed her to drive me forward.
Let's unpack this quickly. The fact that you said you needed her, not like Batman needs the Joker, like the Joker needs Batman. You did make yourself the villain.
I made myself the villain.
Yeah.
I wonder why I did that.
Do you want to lay down on your couch and we'll talk about it for a second? Let's just take some notes.
All right. So it sounds like on the list we have Indiana Jones.
Oh, this is tough.
And Freddy.
It's so tough.
And Freddy.
Those are the two.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's how I'm going to argue against you, Gagliardi, my friend, who I love. Watch this.
All right.
I think you've been unduly influenced by an art exhibit.
Ooh.
I think they had more access
mm-hmm.
because of some cross-promotional deal with who made Raiders of the Lost Ark? I mean, I know it's Spielberg, but what studio?
Paramount.
Paramount? There may have been a secret liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we were to go back and look at that exhibit, if the majority of the costumes were from Paramount or
right.
Paramount subsidiaries. And Freddy Krueger, how many movies have been made of Freddy Krueger in that? There have been 12 films? How many films? How many Freddy Krueger films are
there? I will fully admit to both that and I have seen a couple of Freddy movies. I enjoy them. I've seen each Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, that's the thing. See,
sure.
I own each Indiana Jones movie in several platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure.
Still on VHS just in case something goes wrong and I need them. I got them all. I own them on different TVs. Like, I love Indiana Jones. It's perfect to me.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to take your heart out of that film for a costume and give it to a franchise that is not as beloved to me, but overall,
but boy, costume,
what does everyone know more?
Yeah.
What is more effective for the most people? And I would have to argue that it's Freddy Krueger.
I am convinced.
All right.
This is fun. I like this
podcast. I was going to say something about it, but there's no need because you said it perfectly.
Oh, well,
you nailed it.
But I hear you, Indiana Jones. I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Oh, I want to see if there's an online outlet of this exhibit.
Oh, yeah. How they wore, like, the jacket is worn. Mm-hmm. Like, his costume tells a story. Mm-hmm. Every little detail tells you something about it, which is why, like, it's obviously one of my favorite parts of that whole exhibit. The fact that the winner is a low-budget Wes Craven horror film from 1984 that's still 33 years later.
Very
we
true.
We know what that costume – like still – it's still somehow relevant in the same way.
Yeah.
I think that's that's what did it.
Also, you know what I will say? My heart is invested in the Freddy Krueger idea because I worked with Robert Englund and he was so lovely.
Mm.
And
there you
so
go.
He was not dismissive or embarrassed, or he was proud of Freddy Krueger. You know how some actors could be douches about him?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're fine.
Is that a swear?
No.
There are actors who would want to distance themselves from that or say, oh, yeah, I do that for a paycheck, or, you know, because they want to be considered, no, I'm Shakespearean, no, I'm – and he was – happy to do other work, but proud of that work. And I thought – and so that does touch me. I found that very touching, and I found him to be a deeply lovely and enjoyable man. So I am being biased.
That's a bias that works for us, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I'm also scared to into the 90s.
It does also fit the cliche, though, of the people who play villains – are usually super nice people.
Yeah.
And then the person who played the most villain was really, really lovely.
Yeah.
So what's up, Robert Englund, if you're listening? We'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah. Lovely.
Let's move into the 1990s. All right, here we go. Home stretch, guys.
That was tough, the 80s.
Yeah,
that was
all tough. Your research is impeccable.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
This was a lot of fun to do. I'm not going to lie. 1990s begin with – these are all, by the way, as I'm reading them in chronological order. Johnny Depp as Edward Scissorhands. Julia Roberts' red dress in Pretty Woman. Julia Roberts' brown polka dot dress in Pretty Woman.
From the polo game, right?
From the polo game, yeah. Yes. I know it's not actual fabric.
I'm gonna cross it out while you're saying it.
All right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Belle's yellow princess dress from Beauty and the Beast. We've got taking a 180 degree turn. Sharon Stone's white dress from her interrogation in Basic Instinct. Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire. Tom Hanks in a plaid shirt buttoned to the top and a suit and sneakers as Forrest Gump. Mel Gibson as William Wallace in Braveheart. Alicia Silverstone's yellow plaid suit from Clueless. The assorted actors, I won't say who in case you somehow haven't seen the movie, who were Ghostface in Scream. Lilo from The Fifth Element.
You're talking about the version where it's all the white,
stripes.
Yeah, yes.
Mila Jovovich. And Kate Winslet's evening dress from Titanic. And the dude from The Big Lebowski as played by Jeff Bridges. Also Carrie Ann Moss as Trinity in The Matrix.
Wow.
I think using some of the criteria that we've used before, we can eliminate, unfortunately, she was amazing. We can eliminate Trinity and probably Clueless yellow plaid suit. Some of these that if you see them, you don't immediately.
Didn't Carrie Ann Moss, didn't that sort of set off a, well, I guess
the
not.
The catsuit craze?
I guess not. No, I was thinking like the hair, but it was more of her hairstyle. Mm-hmm. But I think that hairstyle was already around.
Oh, are you talking about
the shorter Matrix, hair? I'm talking about her in The Matrix with the short hair and like the slicked back.
I feel like we're stopping
no,
at
no,
the
no, that no, already no. Exists. Dude, I was doing that in like 92. I had a flat top. I started it.
Did I ever tell you the first time we had a Thrilling Adventure Hour rehearsal, the first time I was there at Blacker's apartment, when I walked in, the two people I was most starstruck by were you and Paul. Paul, because I'm a huge comedy fan and Mr. Show, and you because I was a huge Friends fan. I was like, it's Kathy from Friends.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know that. You never told me
I
that.
I never did because it's weird. I don't know.
We've known each other 12, 13 years.
Yeah,
now
we have. Now I feel comfortable telling you.
Oh, that's adorable. Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, well, thanks. It's true.
Aww. I was very excited to see Hal.
You don't have to say anything.
I'm having a hard time with the 90s.
I like Sharon Stone's dress.
But it wasn't about the dress.
It's not about what she wore. It's about what she did.
It was about what she did and claimed she was lied to about. Please, Sharon.
And do you remember?
What you were doing, Sharon.
Do you remember what Mrs. Doubtfire was wearing, or do you remember her makeup?
Oh, I remember what she was wearing.
Yep.
She was wearing almost like a replicated Edwardian blouse with a pin tuck front over the boobs. Mm-hmm. And the was it a little pearl necklace?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a gray sweater. And a long skirt.
Yeah, but it's taken us a minute. Now describe what Indiana Jones looks like.
Okay, all right.
He looks like Freddy Krueger, but with a leather jacket on.
Or I could have said Freddy. You know what I mean? My point being.
Yes, you're right. I would say we can eliminate Mrs. Doubtfire.
But a shout out to that.
Yeah.
I would say eliminate William Wallace, because if you saw someone walking around dressed like William Wallace from Braveheart, you'd go, oh, there's a Scottish guy.
Right. They'd have to have the blue.
There's a kind of racist
makeup.
Scottish old man who does not like Jewish people.
Yes.
Yes. And I don't know if you would make that connection. You would just say, I'm taking out Yellow Princess dress animated.
All right. Yep. I'm taking it out too.
White dress, Sharon Stone out.
Look, the mouse contractually required me to put those in there.
the ghost face mask existed, I think, before Scream came out. I think they used something that was already in the store. Smart to use it.
Oh. But that was the same thing with Michael Myers.
Yeah. It was a William Shatner
mask.
Yeah.
All right. So if it's not good enough for Shatner, it's not good enough for – or if Shatner's not good enough for the list, Ghostface isn't good enough for the list.
Take out yellow plaid suit. I'm sorry to say. Yeah. Lovely wardrobe.
I just wanted to give
mistress.
Her something from that because that
– All the wardrobe in it.
All the wardrobe in that movie was
but
really
it was
great.
The whole movie was styled so well that you can't actually distill it down to one outfit, which is a testament to Mona May, the costume designer who did the costumes on the show that I was on a couple years ago with John Stamos called Grandfathered.
Hey-o!
She did a great job. She did too good of a job in Clueless to distill it down to just one outfit. But it was – that was great. She did a great – it's great. Those are great costumes.
Let's talk about Kate Winslet in Titanic.
Titanic.
Let's talk about Kate Winslet in Titanic. Great costumes. Does it also suffer from the same problem that you can't pick one? I mean,
it's Edwardian.
Everything
was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was the most expensive movie ever filmed at that point, including how much it cost to make the first D.W. Griffith movie?
Yes.
Like, Titanic was by far the most – so the costumes were exquisite.
Yes.
But if you saw someone wearing that Edwardian outfit, even with the hat, even that long tracking shot up her – coming up the gangplank, you still would not know necessarily that that was Titanic.
That's true. I would agree.
I honestly do not remember. I know I will never – I will not ever have a male fan again after I say this, but I do not remember what the dude wears.
He wears a bathrobe.
Shorts and a shirt and socks with sandals.
It is the worst outfit of all time. It is easily the worst costume on our best costume list.
Right.
But because it became so a thing.
You're right.
I know it's not on here, and maybe there probably is a good reason why. And I don't, and maybe the reason why is I can't think of which costume or piece to pull from this, but I want to say it's something Vince Vaughn wears in Swingers. that
he had some captured cool clothes, yeah.
Captured that, like, the 40s are back.
Yeah, that
big shoulder pads, tapered waist, ballooned out, like.
But what? We can't remember what it is. That was another thing
where the whole look, it was the whole look of the movie.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't just
him wearing them. So still on the list, we have Pretty Woman, both dresses from Pretty Woman. We have Edward Scissorhands, Forrest Gump, Lilo from The Fifth Element. And I think that's it.
Fifth Element is really cool. Mm-hmm. She's also an international supermodel, so everything was going to look good on her.
They just wrapped her in white duct
tape.
And
his wife, yeah. But do people dress up like her at Halloween?
Not often.
People dress up like her at Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
Let's take Comic-Con out of it.
Sure.
Everyone is represented at Comic-Con.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
So you can't say – that can't be a criteria. I would say it's a great outfit. She looks fabulous. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to take it out.
Great.
Yeah.
This is. I'm gonna go.
We gotta get harsh on this.
I'm gonna go to battle right now. I'm gonna go to battle right now and say the answer. And this is tricky because we just had Freddy Krueger. The answer is Edward Scissorhands.
Interesting.
Knife fingered protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hands are part of the costume.
The hands are part of the costume, but it was also that so Tim Burton, like it.
Yeah.
It's its own style. He clearly drew that costume and it was made. Yeah. Same thing with Catwoman, like the lacing and the patent leather and we can't go as far as makeup and hair, but it's the same.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
And the only similarity with it, with Freddy Krueger is that he has knives.
Right, they have knifey. But I'm just saying it's interesting that I'm going to go to bat for that and say that that was the most sartorially influential. Those are big words.
Yeah.
Goodness.
What does influential mean?
I don't know. I thought you knew.
No, I do. I think, but then is that, am I piggybacking the idea of the Edward Scissorhands costume onto the entire Tim Burton look? Because you could make a case for Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the iconic. It's an iconic. First of all, I don't know how many people are dressing up as Edward Scissorhands. Certainly not. Certainly in like 91, 90 they did. Forrest Gump people maybe still dress up as him. But again, that was sort of up the time.
You know what? I think it's a lazy costume.
It is a lazy costume.
I think it's one you can find in your closet.
It's one that I would probably try to wear because it's a lazy costume.
Yeah. I know my husband's pulled out a Marty McFly several times.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You just need a jean jacket and a vest.
And he's got the orange vest. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So when I made this list, as I was writing this one, I thought, well, Edward Scissorhands is going to win the 90s.
Oh, you had a premonition.
I had a premonition.
Who knew?
I mean, just as I was writing them, I thought.
It's also so 90s. Like, remember the 90s?
Yes.
Like, that was very, that kind of, it's that goth, emo, outcast, artsy, and so Tim Burton.
Yeah, it's the most Tim Burton-y Tim Burton that was ever Tim Burton.
It's definitely
and Beetlejuice, but
Tim
that's
Burton's
what
hair.
Winona Ryder looks like in Beetlejuice. She looks like Edward Scissorhands from Edward Scissorhands. Right. She looks like The Nightmare Before Christmas, and like it's all.
How did Beetlejuice not wind up on this? I'm realizing that way. I knew there would be at least one that I went, oh yeah.
Well, because a lot of that is hair and makeup, though.
Yeah, it's hair and makeup.
But it's that, but a vertical white suit.
It's a
vertical
good
black
one.
And white striped suit.
Right, but you always wear it with a mask. You can't just wear it and be like, hey, guess who I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you really wanted to get to that level, you'd be like, what about Jim Carrey in the mask when he wears the yellow zoot suit? Well, it's the makeup. It's not the same.
Or Hannibal Lecter's face mask.
Hannibal Lecter's
like you
face
kinda
mask.
Can't,
right.
He was wearing a jumpsuit and a face mask when they wheeled him out.
I will – just one I want to mention very quickly that's not in here is Judi Dench at the end of Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, boy.
As Queen Elizabeth.
We do have a Queen Elizabeth coming up.
Yes, but I just love that costume. Mm-hmm. It's such a great – all the costumes in that film are great, but that one in particular stands out. It wouldn't win, but I just wanted to have
it
mentioned.
Judi Dench is about to play her for – no, she's playing Queen Victoria. Never mind.
She's played a lot of
Queens. Wait. She wasn't Queen Elizabeth. She was – Queen Victoria.
No, she was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth
in Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm.
She was
the at the end of the movie.
Yes, she comes in as Queen Elizabeth.
I thought that was
Kate Blanchett played Elizabeth in Elizabeth the same year.
Right. Oh boy. All right. I don't know my history very well.
So are we going to?
I really don't.
Edward Scissorhands wins. Yeah.
All right.
Home stretch.
We're moving into. Let's just do all of these at once. The 2000s through now. Starting at 2000 to now. We've got The Grinch, as played by Jim Carrey in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean, as played by Johnny Depp. Kirsten Dunst as Marie Antoinette in the movie of the same name. Cate Blanchett. Blanchett? I don't know how you say it.
Blanchett, I think.
As Elizabeth I in Elizabeth the Golden Age. We've got Keira Knightley's green dress from Atonement. We've got Natalie Portman's Black Swan costume from Black Swan. Keira Knightley again as Anna Karenina in the movie of the same name. And Charlize Theron as Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road. I will now add the one that I mentioned before. The only one to come out of the superhero universe, I think, unless you guys can think of others, Iron Man.
It's mostly digital. If I were going to pick a costume, I probably would pick the latest Spider-Man. Although they're all great costumes, but they're from another.
I feel like we could do a whole other episode on best superheroes.
Yeah. That's its own thing.
That's why I had.
You got a lot of editing to do on this podcast.
That's it. I'm just going to edit stuff in from other podcasts to make it the longest one ever.
So what stands out in this one? Elizabeth the Golden Age, by the way, is on here because her costumes in this are from later in her reign, as opposed to the first Elizabeth movie where she wasn't wearing the absolute insane giant gowns.
Right.
Can I be honest? Mm-hmm. Nothing on this list really stands out to me that much. Nothing that would beat anything that came before.
I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree.
Really? We're not putting anything out of 2000 to 2015?
Personally, I would say Jack Sparrow because I think people do dress up like him.
Sure.
They're right down the street.
And also, but is that weird that the 90s and the 2000s, they're both Johnny Depp?
I know. Well, he knows how to pick them. Or he used to. I don't know. Now he's broke and he fired the agent that shepherded his whole career. I don't know why he did that.
Yikes. I don't know.
He's made some, I don't know.
Too many scarves cutting off the circulation to his brain.
But also that was all kind of his idea too. So I don't know if you can count Jack Sparrow. He was the one who went to Disney. He put those extensions in and did his eyeliner and, like, that was his look. He had the costumer devise that look, and he wanted to play a young, gay Keith Richards. And Disney flipped out, and then after the first movie made so much money, they claimed it was their idea, but he got back end because – so
– wow.
I don't know how he could have gone through all that money. But I don't know if that counts. I just don't know how anyone goes through that.
I think we can
money.
Give it to him because it's the most iconic one.
The most iconic
list.
One, but –
More so than the Grinch.
It's the same as
Grinch's makeup.
The Grinch.
But that I feel like, and that was why I put this one on here. I was
and based
curious
on a drawing,
just to
drawing.
That's true. That's
Dr. Seuss drawing.
That's the harder thing is that it's based on. It already had a look.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. Would you call like? I just wanted to bring the question up. Is why I put this on there.
Right.
Is it still makeup? If it's does it be when does it become a costume? Does a costume start at the neck? Is Chewbacca? Well, I guess no, because that
it's
was
a separate
thing.
Department. So if it's a separate department,
right.
It's a separate.
That's the thing. I would wonder if
there are
if the green fur from the neck
hair,
down,
there is makeup.
Would the green suit from the neck down? Which of those departments would that be? Would it be costumes?
Costumes.
No.
Okay. But you think
so?
It's the,
would
it's,
the head?
Yeah.
If it's a head that's put on, but then the makeup is finishing.
Right. Yeah.
But hair. The hair department is responsible for putting the hood on, the hat on.
Right.
Anything that touches the scalp is hair, except unless you're a bald man and they paint you.
Right. Wow.
So it's a separate department. And I love those costumes in Elizabeth and Marie Antoinette are great. They're
great
all great
period
costumes.
Pieces.
Anna Karenina, they're all great, but are they iconic to a specific movie? Would you know one costume was from this Elizabeth movie or this Elizabeth movie or
right?
I don't know if I would, and I think I would know better than both of you.
That's true.
For lady clothing, but your research again is impeccable. Beautiful work here, especially that green dress from Atonement. I don't think most guys know how important that dress was.
That's a big dress.
Big dress.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
I haven't seen Atonement.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
So why don't we do this?
Where do we start?
We will give the 2000s and onward to Jack Sparrow and eliminate him immediately.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. So here are our finalists. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them because Jack Sparrow is already out. We have 1914's The Tramp, Charlie Chaplin. We have Bela Lugosi's iconic Dracula costume from 1931. We have the black nightclub dress worn by Rita Hayworth in 1946's Gilda. The Marilyn Monroe dress from The 7-Year Itch. Anybody who has ever seen a grate on the pavement has thought about that dress, I bet. The black dress worn by Audrey Hepburn in 1961's Breakfast at Tiffany's. The white disco leisure suit worn by John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever in 1977. 1984, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger, the sweater, the glove, the hat, the pants, and the work boots. Edward Scissorhands and his zippered costume from 1990's film of the same name. And those are our finalists.
Great. How about this? I'll start, then Hal, then Padgett.
And we'll eliminate them one at a time.
We'll eliminate them in a circle. Does that work?
In a circle.
Yeah, we'll go around. And we'll each eliminate one until there's only one standing.
Yes. Okay.
I will eliminate right away, though she is wonderful, Rita Hayworth, in her black nightclub dress in Gilda from 1946.
I second the motion.
Yep.
Great.
I agree. I'm going to eliminate Edward Scissorhands because I think that the other costumes on this list are just more iconic than his.
Mm-hmm.
I concur.
Padgett?
This is very hard. I'm going to eliminate, and then just not without trepidation, John Travolta's white disco suit. I know. Sorry, I'm having a hard time. There are just so many strong choices.
Wait, how many did we have?
We now have four. We had five left. We have five left.
Okay.
What's wrong?
You'll see in a second what I screwed up. One of us always screws this up.
Yep.
Okay. You know what? Let's have a little fun. Let's reverse direction.
Okay. So
now it's to you, Hal.
Okay. So, all right. We've got Freddy Krueger.
Wait, will this change anything?
I don't know. Let's find out.
What information is missing?
All right. I'll tell you what information is. We may want to do this part again.
Nope.
All right.
We're going to keep it in.
Keep it in.
I'll tell you what information is missing. We were trying to make you make the final decision. We were trying to get it down to two.
And you just figured out mathematically we would go around in a circle.
Yes.
I figured out where to start. But I had miscircled one. I had forgotten one of the circles. There were eight instead of seven.
That is hilarious.
And so now it's going to fall to
all
me.
All right.
To pick
you know what? What do you want to do?
Want you to pick the final one.
Yeah. Do you want to pick the final? Can you pick the final one right now? Out of this list?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't make me.
I'll tell you what. You eliminate one right now. And that takes us down 1, 2, 3, 4.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. You eliminate
one. I'm taking one out now.
I'll eliminate one. Mark will eliminate one. And then we'll leave you with the final two. But whatever your decision is, we back you up.
And it's final for all time.
Yes. So you get
come
to
on,
decide.
Guys.
You're
okay.
The-
all right. All right. I campaigned for this.
Yeah.
But I think overall, decade by decade, least influential, Freddy Krueger. I'm sorry, Robert.
Sorry.
This is not a reflection
it's
on
not,
your
it's
love
It's not.
For Robert
it's about
England.
History.
Yeah.
And impact. And the industry.
It's about love. It's about sex. It's about anger. It's about reconciliation. That's up next.
So someone else gets to get rid of one now.
Okay. I will get rid of one. We have four left for those of you who are trying to keep track at home. We have the Tramp. We have Dracula. We have the Marilyn Monroe dress. And then we have the black dress from Breakfast at Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that I'm going to eliminate. It's simply for me, someone who... I've not seen The Seven-Year Itch. I've seen bits of Breakfast at Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. But of the two of those, and those are the two that I was sort of deciding between, the white dress is just – that gets brought up. Whenever they have like the new blonde bombshell, whether she's a model or an actress, they want her to do that pose because get in the dress. You're the new Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. That still means something more than you are the new Audrey Hepburn. Although that's not that means nothing, but it's just too iconic.
I understand what you're saying.
Thank goodness.
Now I will eliminate one, and this is very hard because there are only three left, and I think there are two that are absolute icons and one that is a really close runner up. So I'm going to eliminate Bela Lugosi's Dracula,
whoa,
even though his cape served to mask.
But it's the medallion.
The medallion was great, but
what did the
as far
mask?
As movie costumes go, it feel like it has to come down to Marilyn Monroe's White Dress and Charlie Chaplin's Little Tramp.
Wow.
Guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just found a flaw in the system.
What flaw did you find?
Did Charlie Chaplin, did he not say, okay, hold on. I believe he put together that costume, which is how we knocked out Annie Hall.
However,
he was
it was
director.
Not what he wore he was the on a day-to-day basis.
He was the director, so yes. It counts.
Mm-hmm. It does count.
Right, I just wanted to keep the tramp yes. in because I thought, oh no.
Right.
He also composed music for his own movies and
okay, great.
And edited
okay,
them.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so you're Dracula's out.
Dracula's out.
Is out.
This is between the White Dress from the 7-Year Itch and every Charlie Chaplin film.
The tramp is, he wore the same thing in every movie.
She wore it once.
Don't, I'm not arguing for one.
I know
over
what
another.
You want.
Look.
I feel like I have just wasted 101 years of my time because it's all number one. It's the tramp. It's the tramp. It's the tramp.
You think the tramp is the winner?
It's the most iconic.
Absolutely.
Costume.
I'm with you 100%.
There you go. I'll now issue our decision for everybody who listens around the world. I'll say, people of the world, we just took you through 103 years of film. And we went through some iconic costumes. The ones that you thought should be on the list that weren't, too bad. That's what the internet's for. You can yell at Mark and I will read it. He will not. However, you probably knew when we started it was going to be the tramp wearing his shoes on the wrong feet because they were too big with his oversized jacket and his tie and the pants held up by rope.
Yep.
Jeez. I mean, and look, the tramp and the short, the tramp is great. Go watch the Gold Rush. Go watch Modern Times, even The Great Dictator, which is a fantastic film that's kind of lost in within his canon. And none of the other costumes that he wears hold a candle to that tramp outfit. That is an iconic character. If you grew up around the same time that we did on Sesame Street, you had Maria dressed as the tramp. That costume was part of it. That costume is still part of everything. It stands for something, for goodness sakes, in this world gone mad. And that is why it is the greatest movie costume of all time, asked and answered.
Paget Brewster.
Guys,
thanks
was,
for doing this.
That was great.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
I really did. Good. And I can't believe how seriously I have taken this whole thing, but it was so enjoyable.
I'm so glad.
I just think you guys are great.
Aww.
I think you're two very unique individuals. This would be silly with someone else. It would be silly to do this, but it actually means something to us as fans of these films.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've hurt some of our friends here today. But
only one of us.
But it's, I don't know, it's a testament to how much we all enjoy entertainment and are lucky to be able to be in it to whatever degree we are.
Yeah.
And still fans. This is just a really, I'm going to be thinking about this for days. Well, days.
Thanks for coming.
Maybe weeks.
You're
I'm
wonderful.
Crazy about you. I think you guys are great.
Well, we love you.
We love you, Paget.
I love you. Thank you so much for asking me to do this.
Your family to us.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Don't.
I can't believe we've known each other 13? For 12 years. 12 plus. Almost 13.
12 plus. Almost 13.
It's going
years,
to be 13.
Yeah.
It's crazy. If I had known 20 years ago that you and I would be friends. If you want me to edit it out, I will. But if you needed anything, if Mark needed anything, Paul, if they ever needed anything, they could call me and I'd be there in a heartbeat.
I hope you know that's the same for me.
100%.
Yeah.
I have
no doubt about that.
It's special. I'm like so grateful. Like what a blessing.
It's true. Sometimes busy. I don't know. I don't know if she'd be there.
You know what?
But the rest of us, I think, would really be there for 100%. Each other.
If Bessie,
Annie, I think the
just
original.
Call her Bessie. See, I don't even remember her name. I can't be expected to remember
I
all of you.
I can't take time for new friends.
Yeah, I can't.
There's I'm no loaded way. Up.
New friends after year two.
I'm loaded up.
Is there anything you want to promote to people? Do you want people to go see anything or do anything, whatever?
To watch Criminal Minds Wednesday nights at 10:00. starting at the end of September. Another period is coming back at some point this summer. I don't know when. And Drunk History.
Yeah.
Is coming back this. You're on it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming this back is- this summer at some point. Yeah. I mean, when? No,
it's coming back soon. Yeah. It's, when? They've already shot everything.
I know. Everything's done.
It's coming back soon.
It's got to be soon. This is not the final season.
No.
Right?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Good.
This is season 5.
He announced a final season years ago.
Yeah.
And then it's just been going.
Too bad. Since. Too bad, Derek. You're too smart.
This is year 5, right?
This is 5. Or is this 6? This is either 5 or 6.
I think this is 5.
Yes.
And another period, I think this is our 3rd season. We'll begin airing.
Maybe. Another period is fantastic.
I don't know when another period might not even be airing until January 2018. I don't know.
It could be coming, but you can go catch up on the
Another periods. Yeah, watch the earlier Another Periods.
Yeah, catch
up. Thanks, guys. Early what would you like to promote? Period. What's happening with you, Hal? What's going on?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I just want people to keep listening to this.
Please listen to this.
For goodness sakes.
This is really compelling. I don't listen to any podcasts. I might listen to this. Listen to other ones.
I'm going to listen to this episode over and over again.
Only my episode.
And yell at myself.
Because I can't. That would be mortifying. But I'm going to listen to other ones.
Yeah.
And then just text you, irritatingly text you. What about this? Why'd you say this? You guys are not going to want to be my friend.
My friend Barb already does that.
I can't wait. Yeah, she does it in the Facebook group too. All right.
How funny.
That's it. This topic has been settled, but there are so many other topics out there.
Oh my God.
We've got a running list right now of almost 300 topics.
What?
That we have not yet recorded. And I'm going to say right now, that's not enough. We need more. We need more topics. It's just the way it is.
So please reach out to us on Twitter at We Got This Tweets. Check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can go email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com. Go to facebook.com/groups/ We Got This Podcast. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, researcher Kate McManus, who was able to take a vacation on this one. His Mark just jumped all over it and did a fantastic job. Graphic designer Uri Kelman and QA engineer Jen Alba.
Thanks as always to our musicians Mike Furman and Jonathan Dinerstein for our theme song and score respectively. And thanks to you, our listeners. You gave us a chance to sit down with Padgett, who we love, and talk about movie costumes.
I love you guys too.
And I want to add to this that the people who are listeners, who are able and who have become donors on Maximum Fun and have chosen to support our show, thank you very much. You have afforded us travel, equipment, all kinds of stuff that we put into making the show the best that it can be for you. So I just wanted to throw in – I realize we never really thank people for that, but I want to say thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you.
For Mark Gagliardi, I'm Hal Lublin.
For Hal Lublin, I'm Mark Gagliardi. And don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.